ora, ko Katie Scotchera ho, ane te pūrongo tōranga pū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. The government's at a transport crunch point. In its first year as a majority, Labor's scrapped or reshaped major projects and programs, while decisions about the future of others loom. And the usual challenges of the inherently political sector are being compounded by the financial pressures from the pandemic and the urgent need to respond to climate change. National's transport spokesperson David Bennett is critical of Labor's approach so far.
Transport's vital for a growing country like New Zealand going forward, and we need to make sure that we build the infrastructure that will deliver a strong economy, the ability for commuters to get where they want to go, and in a safe and efficient manner. What we're seeing at the moment is a structure that has been set in place for many years has now become politicised. We're seeing the hand of the minister in decision-making, which hadn't been seen before. We're seeing personal projects being put forward that have no rationale behind them and are just nice-to-haves that political leaders want to make sure happen. And the result of that is that we're getting a system that's lost its integrity.
Over the next 3 years, the government has planned to spend more than $24 billion on land transport, a 44% increase on the funding available during the 2018 to 2021 period. The money comes from the National Land Transport Fund, a $2 billion Crown loan, and central and local governments. The funding was divvied up in Waka Kotahi's National Land Transport Plan, which was guided by the government's policy statement on land transport. It'll be invested across various areas, but road and cycleway maintenance and highway improvements will get the most cash. But it's not just dollars and cents that shape this portfolio, it's politics. The previous coalition government, made up of Labour, New Zealand First and the Greens, a clear example of this. Think Auckland Light Rail, clean car standards and the Feebate scheme.
I am disappointed that we haven't been able to get this across the line. Ultimately, we weren't able to convince New Zealand First to support it.
Why will she not release a letter written in her capacity as Associate Minister of Transport?
Winston's been pretty clear. Rail's not in our book.
I'm always disappointed in New Zealand First.
This term, though, is different. Labour is governing alone, a clear mandate to do what it wants, and no one to blame if things go wrong. David Bennett says the government will struggle, as Labour's biggest challenge in the transport sector is itself.
They're making political judgments on infrastructure when we have regional land transport committees, we have the NZTA or Waka Kotahi, and we have the New Zealand Ministry of Transport, and we have ATAP and all those organisations that have thousands of people working in that arena that are experts, and they make decisions and advice and they plan things out rationally. What we have seen for 5 years, regardless of coalition partners, is a rational judgment in regard to transport planning and pure political projects that they themselves believe are beneficial. And when it comes to reality of delivering them, they can't. And so that's the great failure of a Labour transport.
Nick Leggett from Ia Ara Aotearoa Transporting New Zealand, formerly known as the Road Transport Forum, says there's always been competing interests in the sector, battling for scarce resources. But he says transport has become increasingly divisive in recent years.
There is clearly an ideological driver now around transport that's different from the previous government, and that is that private car journeys are seen as less desirable, both from an environmental perspective, but actually from a congestion and just general lifestyle and health perspective. And that is finding its way into policy and drivers within cities. So you see things like light rail without any real business case again, and very difficult, obviously, to get off the ground, let alone construct. But in Wellington and Auckland, the drivers for light rail and the defunding of roading and the taking away of major highway projects that were previously signalled. Having said that, the government haven't move totally away this term from roading projects. They've announced some significant projects, and they've obviously they're in the process of finishing things like Transmission Gully. But they are seeking what they call it a more mode-neutral stance and an approach. And I think probably some of us would say it's not really that neutral. It's moving away from roads, which carry cars and trucks, and really are a pretty important block, building blocks for economic activity. And they're moving more to, as I say, public transport options that don't exist yet in many places.
Politics aside, the transport sector faces serious challenges because of COVID-19. There's a critical shortage of materials because of worldwide supply chain issues, and border closures mean there's not enough construction workers in the country. Major demand for materials is also pushing prices up, as Infometrics' Brad Olson explains.
We have a growing demand for a number of different products. We've got more truck drivers that we need to move goods around to get them to consumers. We need more builders, more plumbers, more electricians to be able to build the houses that we're needing across the country. But the pandemic changes have meant that we don't have net migration coming in at anywhere near the same level as usual. We aren't able to fill in some of those skilled migrant gaps. And also we are seeing those supply chain disruptions really starting to hit across the economy, pushing up prices because you either can't get a good, or if you do want to get a certain type of good, you have to fight with everyone else to get it, and that's pushing prices up.
We saw billions pushed into infrastructure after the first COVID-19 lockdown here to kickstart the economy and create jobs. But when does that spend become a problem, considering all of these challenges that the sector's facing at the moment with supply and labour?
We have seen an intense amount of competition for very scarce resources across the economy, particularly in that building sector. The shovel-ready projects, which many weren't actually shovel-ready, probably a better phrase might well be pencil-ready projects, but that does mean there's a significant amount of cash that wants to be spent. The difficulty for government, particularly at the moment, is that more and more money looks likely to be paying for price and cost increases rather than actually delivering better and more infrastructure.
Transport Minister Michael Woods says these challenges have delayed some of the government's transport projects.
I think what I would say with that is that there's obviously a frustration that we all feel about that. But ultimately with these large projects, we're talking about projects that will probably be there for 100 years and will deliver benefits to New Zealand over a period of time like that. And sometimes the delays that we're talking about might be in a matter of weeks or a few months. It's always frustrating when those delays occur at the time because of an event like COVID. But in the long run, we remain committed to getting the projects done, and they'll deliver good benefits to the country and to the regions of New Zealand.
The New Zealand Upgrade Program is one part of the transport portfolio that's faced significant challenges, which ministers attribute to the pandemic. The $12 billion infrastructure package was unveiled by Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern at the start of 2020.
The New Zealand Upgrade Program, the most significant investment in public infrastructure in a generation, designed to future-proof and grow our economy.
Just over half of the program's funding, $6.8 billion, was earmarked for transport infrastructure. But roughly 18 months later, in June this year, project costs had ballooned to almost $13 billion. It spurred a major shake-up of the New Zealand Upgrade Program, which saw projects like the Mill Road Arterial Highway scrapped. The government blamed the rework on rising costs because of the pandemic and a sharper environmental focus. Here's Michael Wood speaking to Checkpoint's Lisa Owen.
What is new this year in terms of the climate perspective is that the Climate Change Commission has now delivered to us its indicative report, which tells us about the significant changes we'll need to make in the transport sector. And it is only appropriate and responsible that we consider that advice as we're making these big investments. So that's been a part of the rebalancing.
You look Minister, that report, with the greatest of respect, tells you what you already knew. So why weren't you brave enough to do this last year?
Oh, well, look, I'm a new minister coming into this role from the end of last year.
You're in a government.
But look, it is a new situation to have an independent climate commission very clear with us about the kind of changes that we're going to need to make across our transport system. And their draft advice, they've now been very clear that we are going to need to think about these kinds of investments, and that transport has one of the most significant roles to play in terms of New Zealand meeting net zero by 2050. So we have to take that on board. When we get new advice, the responsible thing is to consider it. And I think the rebalancing that we've achieved helps New Zealand to get on that path.
So are you saying that the Labor-led government was utterly unaware of the environmental consequences of the roading projects it signed up to last year?
Oh, not at all. And in the program that was agreed to last year, there was a mix of roading projects and rail projects and walking and cycling projects. And very specifically, one of the objectives of New Zealand Upgrade Program at that time was to have a balance of those investments. But we've now got even stronger evidence on the table of our need to look at things differently. And that's contributed to the rebalancing today.
The program reshuffle saw funding set aside for a new separate walking and cycling bridge across the Waitemata Harbour. Campaigners had long fought for people to be able to use a lane on the existing harbour bridge or for a structure to be attached to it. The plans, while in line with the government's climate-friendly focus, were widely condemned for their cost. And just a few months later, ministers bowed to the pressure and ditched the bridge, reallocating the funding to speed up progress on the Eastern Busway project. Green Party MP Julianne Genter was Associate Transport Minister in the last government and pushed for the cycleway to be included when the upgrade program was first created. She describes the move to can the project as unfortunate.
In reality, the increase in cost alone of Otaki to north of Levin, which has very low economic benefits relative to cost, it's more than the entire cost of the walking and cycling bridge, and arguably more people would use the walking and cycling bridge every day in Auckland. So I just think in the political debate, it's been too easy to mock spending money on active transport as not important and not serious transport, because the only serious things are, obviously motor vehicles. and therefore, it doesn't matter how much we spend on a project. If it's for motor vehicles, it must be good. That's the line that National runs, even ACT, to some extent, which doesn't really stand up to economic scrutiny. But it is easy to sell to people who don't really understand how much better our transport system could be if we invested in alternatives. And that doesn't mean that tradies have to ride bikes or take panes of glass on the train. It's a minority of cars and trucks on the road that actually have to be in cars and trucks. And if we've got plenty of roads, if we use them better, the best way to use them better is to invest in the alternatives that make it viable for the ordinary short trips people are making to school, to work, to the shops, to either be by active or public transport.
Changes in transport will be key as the government works to make New Zealand carbon neutral by 2050. Transport is the second largest source of emissions after agriculture. The Climate Change Commission has said the scale of the changes needed in the sector cannot be overstated. Michael Wood says those changes are his number one priority.
Right at the heart of the vision that we have, as a government has for transport, and at the heart of the challenges we face, is the job of decarbonising transport by 2050. And that's a huge job. It means we need to change the way that we think about transport. It means we need to change the way that we fund transport. It means we need to change the kinds of infrastructure that we build to give people good transport choices. So that's a huge challenge that we face, but one that we're determined to take on. What makes me feel optimistic and positive, though, is that I'm convinced that if we do that well, we can actually deal with a range of the other challenges that we face in transport as well. If we meet the decarbonisation challenge, we can also build cities which are nicer to live in which we have less air pollution, in which there's less congestion, and in which people are safer in our transport system as well. So my big job is to try and find a sweet spot where we get solutions that help us deal with all of those challenges which have been building up for many years.
Do you think the current transport work program sufficiently represents and responds to the urgent threat of climate change, and does it sufficiently respond to the urgent need to decarbonise transport in this country?
Our government has placed the challenge of reducing emissions in the transport system at the centre of our work in transport in a way that has not been done before. We now have action on climate change embedded as one of the core objectives in the government policy statement on transport. we have work underway to develop mass rapid transit systems in our two largest cities. We have record investment going into walking and cycling initiatives. We have work underway to look at the potential for congestion charging in Auckland, our largest city. So there is a huge work program that's touching every part of the portfolio, which is geared around the urgent and also long-term need to reduce our emissions in the sector. So I, as Minister, have absolute confidence that our program and the work of the Ministry of Transport, Waka Kotahi and other agencies is very focused on this issue. But there's always more work to do, and we always have to keep pushing the level of ambition.
Labour's historic win at the last election may have removed the political barriers, but it's piled more pressure on the government to stick with those ambitions and deliver. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Katie Scotcher. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.